need this more, whether I need to look this way or look this way. What do y'all think? That way? All right. It's a joy to be with you this morning. I always appreciate an opportunity to share the word. I appreciate our pastor giving me this opportunity to share the word today. And as I thought about what I was going to share today, the first thought that came to my mind was I just go to the Sermon on the Mount and take up where our pastor left off and just to mess with him a little bit. And then I thought, no, that's probably not what I ought to do. That wasn't the Lord speaking, that was me speaking. And so I had to stop and pray a little bit more and think about what God wanted me to share with you today and how I could best be his spokesman. So God said, get away from Matthew, about as far away as you can. So I'm going to be in Joshua this morning. And anyway, I thought about, if I did what I thought about doing, then Clay would just get up next week and he would outdo me. So I didn't want that to happen because I know he can, and I just wanted to share God's word. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed by having the opportunity to be here this morning. I'm blessed with this church. You guys are a blessing to me, and I just feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. Being here, being a part of this fellowship, partnering with our pastor to lead this church to whatever it is God has in store for us, and I don't know, but he knows. And as we move forward together, he'll turn the pages and reveal those things to us as we're obedient to him. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Joshua chapter 1, a passage that probably most of us remember. A very historic passage, a very important passage in the history of the nation of Israel and in the history of the people of God. The writer says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." There wasn't anything left that he could do. Death is pretty permanent. But that doesn't end what God wants to do. And so he said to him, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all of this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For they for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May God bless the reading of his word. Would you be seated, please? As I think about the word that the Lord has put before us today, it begins basically with two commands. He says, first of all, to Joshua and to the people of Israel, arise. That's in the imperative. It's a word that basically tells them, you've put off following me and obeying me long enough. It's time for action. Now you need to understand that for the past 40 years, the people of Israel, because of their disobedience to the Lord, had been wandering in the wilderness of drought and disease and whatever befell them in the Sinai area. God had brought them to this place 40 years earlier. He had said, cross the Jordan. He sent spies into the land. All but two of them came back and said, we can't do this. There are giants in the land. If we go there, they're going to kill us. Two said, let's go. The people, as is customary, and most of the time it's what we do, they listen to the majority. And listening to the majority, they disobeyed God. They didn't cross the Jordan. And as a result of their sin, they spent 40 years wandering around, not being all that God wanted them to be. Now, what I'm trying to say to you this morning, as the people of God living in Sweetwater, Texas, I believe God is saying, it's time. We sat on our laurels long enough. It's time. Get up. Move forward in obedience to the leadership that I am going to provide you. Just move forward. Get up. And I believe with all of my heart, that's what he's telling me. And I believe with all of my heart, that's what he's telling you as members of Lamar Street Baptist Church. We have a world that is going to hell. We have a nation that is more and more turning its back upon God and all that he wants for us every day. We're ignoring what God is trying to say to us as the people of God. We've let culture creep into the church till culture has become our God. And it's about time that we began to get up and stand for something. Stand for what God is standing for. Stand for the things that really matter in our world. Not what culture tells us to stand for, but stand for what God stands for. Stand for what the Word of God teaches us to stand for. Arise, get up, and live in obedience to me. He says, secondly, cross this Jordan. Now, as I have studied the Word of God, I am told by the theologians that at this time of the year, the Jordan would have been in flood stage. It would have been outside, the waters would have been outside the banks. And they would have had to have a miracle once again. If they were going to cross the Jordan at this time, at this particular place, just as Moses had parted the Red Sea and they crossed over on dry ground, God was going to have to do it again. And we know from the study and the reading of God's Word that that's exactly what God did. He did it again. He parted the waters. As the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, their feet touched the waters, the waters began to back up, and the people were able to go across the swollen Jordan River on dry ground, just as they'd been able to cross the Red Sea. Now, what does that say to us today? They went over to possess the land. They were beginning to live in obedience. I believe what God is trying to say to us today, we as the people of God need to expect a miracle. God's done it. And he can do it again. Amen? God has done it in the past. He's provided the miracles that we as the people of God need to be all that God wants us to be. He's saying to us, cross the Jordan, get up, move forward, live in obedience to my word, and I'll provide you everything that you need. First of all, miracles. We've all had them in our lives to one degree or another. Miracles, as God has touched our lives, as God has healed us on various occasions, as God has provided opportunities for us to minister in his name, as many have been saved as a result of our ministry, that's a miracle. Especially a miracle in my life. If you know anything about me and where I came from, the fact that God could take me and use me to minister in places like Africa, to see hundreds of people come to know the Lord and see the establishment of churches, that's a miracle. God's done it. He can do it again. Amen. Expect it to happen. As we walk in obedience to the Lord, it will happen. Secondly, we just need to obey. That's all that God is asking us to do. That's our part. Obey. He's not calling us to do something that we're incapable of doing. We talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning, and living and walking with the Lord is he equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped, right? He equips the called. So he's not going to give you a task to do that he doesn't equip you with the ability to do it. And if we, as we walk in obedience to the leadership of the Lord in our lives and walk in obedience to become all that God wants us to be as the people of God, then he'll do the rest. He's promised us that he will do the rest. He's promised us his presence. He's promised us that he'll provide the miracle if a miracle is needed. He's promised us that he will do whatever is necessary to make it happen. Whatever it is that needs to happen for us to be all that God wants us to be. Third thing is, we all have territory we need to claim. Spiritual territory. Some of us need to reclaim it. Sometimes we claim it and we lose it, right? Reclaim it for the Lord. Spiritual territory. Forgiveness, for example. God has forgiven us, but have we forgiven ourselves? We need to reclaim that territory over and over again. There are those that we live with and work with every day of our lives that we need to forgive. That's an area we need to claim, a territory that needs to be claimed for the Lord. Family. We all have lost family members. We need to claim those family members for the Lord. God has already given them to us, I believe. We just need to claim them for the Lord. Sometimes family is the hardest people in the world to reach with the gospel. And I've tried to share the gospel with family members before, and they just don't want to listen. They don't want to hear that from me because, you see, they know how imperfect I am. So what I have to do is pray that God will put somebody in their presence that they will listen to. Claim that land for the Lord. There may be other victories that you need to claim for the Lord in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Things that you deal with every day, or things that maybe you think you have dealt with that creep up again in our lives and again in our lives and again, and we have to reclaim that territory. I have to do it every day. But claim that territory for the Lord, because, folks, it says here he's already given it to us. He's already given it to us. Claim it for the Lord. You say, well, in order for me to be all that God wants me to be, I don't know exactly what that means. Well, what's the motto of this church? To know Christ and to make him known. There you are. If you live that out in your daily life, you're doing what God wants you to do. Am I right? If you're living that out so that you're taking the Word of God every day and getting to know Christ a little bit better, and so that you're taking the Word of God and sharing it so that others can come to know Him, then you're being faithful to God. And you're becoming all that God wanted Him to be. Wants you to become. For 21 years of our lives, mine and my wife's lives, it was to live that out and to be all that God wanted us to be. It was to be a missionary in Africa, where we taught in the seminary and shared the gospel and established new churches. And you know, I think we were instrumental in about 42 churches coming to existence during our time there. It's to be here now. So what is it that God wants you to do? What is it that God wants you to be? Figure it out. And then do it. You know, basically, all that He requires of us is unfaltering faith. He says three times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. That says to me, all we got to do is believe. If we believe, and if we walk in obedience, then God will do only what God can do. And He will do it. But we've got to be faithful to walk in obedience to Him so that God can use us as instruments of His grace in our world. So, church, get up. Determine what it is God wants you to do and do it. And live in obedience to the Word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be here today. You've been so good to us. As we look back on our lives, as many who are here can today, we can look back and we can see your footsteps in the sand. We can see, Lord, your hand upon our lives. We can see how you've protected us and how you've led us. How, Lord, you've put us in places that we never dreamed that we would be, so that we could be instruments of your love and grace to a people who do not know you. Lord, I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be a part of it. I'm thankful for my pastor and for his family and for the leadership that he provides. I'm thankful, Lord, for a church that loves you and desires nothing more than just to be your church in this place at this particular time. Help us to be all that you want us to be. Help us to be that book that people read that points them to Jesus. Help us, Lord, to not just be a building, but be the church wherever we are. We pray now, Lord, as we come to a time of decision, that you would speak. And Lord, as you speak, we pray that your people will respond. Lord, most of all, if there's someone here who needs Jesus this morning, my prayer is that by the Holy Spirit, you'll reach out and touch their lives and draw them to yourself. To the degree that they'll make the decision to invite Jesus into their hearts and lives as their Savior and their Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we give you the praise and honor and glory that's due your name, because we do pray in the holy name of Jesus.